This is Experience Points with me, Will, and
me, MG, on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
We have an excellent show planned. This is the second show. We promised. We delivered.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't forget this time, Will.
No, we did not.
This is going to be a fantastic show for a few reasons. First off, so in the last few shows, we've been talking about jailbreaking, homebrew, kind of things like that. Well, you can't jailbreak your phone because it's from when Stegosaurus is roaming the earth. But
oh yeah, I want to do my phone closing.
Hold on, here it is. Here, listen to this chirp. Oh, yeah. It's so crisp. I love it. So I actually jailbroke mine. I have the iPhone 5. Oh, it's messing up. I'm looking at it now, and it's like messing up with the sidebar on the side.
No.
But
what is?
It happens. It gets stuck every time.
But yeah, it was funny though because he walked in and he told me before the show, he was like, "Hey, I jailbroke my phone." And I was like, "Wait a second, don't you have an iPhone 5?" Like I thought that only existed with like iPod touches and like when they first came out and like iPod phone things. Whatever.
You don't jailbreak your phone's good enough now. What does your phone not do?
Can I
interrupt you for a second?
Sure,
I want everyone to hear my phone close. I hope everyone heard that. Maybe too faint, but yeah, I know. Space age, get with the program.
Anyways,
yeah. So, I mean, I gotta say, a lot of people go, "Man, I want to jailbreak my phone for XYZ reasons." I didn't really have any reasons other than, the new jailbreak came out. I was talking about it on the show. Let's try it. So I didn't have a reason to do this.
Yeah.
But now that it's jailbroken, there are so many reasons. Oh, so many reasons. Okay, so first off, you don't get it until you look at an old iPhone and then a new, like, jailbroken, like, you know, it's like saved. The iPhone's been saved.
It's completely ridiculous how they did
it. You look at it, it's not, you could obviously tell it's an iPhone still.
Yeah.
But you could fit four icons across, or five icons across instead of four, five icons at the bottom instead of the four.
Mm-hmm.
You can change the way it looks, make it look super spiffy.
The color scheme was really cool in yours.
Yeah, I have the Genesis theme from through Winterboard, and it's really great. And the cool thing is, it used to be where you had to go through all of these cracks and hacks in order to get your phone broken.
And it was still buggy afterwards,
and it was still really buggy. Yeah, it was like, and I look at that. That was the early Android, early iPhone era. We're in a whole new generation, Will. We are there.
But so the jailbreaking thing you're showing me is crazy.
This is what the Jeffersons were talking about here. This is what they were talking. We moved on up. We upgraded 6.1. The jailbreak was so easy. I plugged the lightning cable in. I plugged the phone and everything together, and I opened the jailbreak app, and it said, "Do you want a jailbreak?" And I said, "Yeah, I want a jailbreak." I hit the button, and it was like, "Okay, just sit back, deal with it for a minute. We're going to jailbreak your phone." And then after about a minute, it was like, "Could you unlock your phone?"
It's like, ding.
Yeah. It was like, "Unlock your phone. We need you to unlock it and hit okay." I did it. I hit okay. 2 more minutes, I had a jailbroken phone.
It's crazy.
Whenever I want to unjailbreak it, I guess re-jail it. Whenever I want to throw it back in jail, I can restore, and everything that was jailbroken is now back to normal.
Why is it called jailbreaking? I never even thought about that.
Because it's in jail.
It's in jail because it's
locked
behind the bars.
That's what I assume.
Apple Incorporated has a jail for phones. But
yeah, well,
I noticed a second ago you said that's what the Jeffersons were talking about. Did you mean the Jetsons?
No, the Jeffersons. The
okay.
Move on up.
Oh, okay. I guess.
Okay.
Because you said, like, we're talking about the futuristic things, and you said the Jeffersons, and I was like, wait a second. Did you mean the Jetsons? Because the Jetsons were, like, future people. So I was like confused, but
we were talking about future retro before the show started, and we're not going to play any future retro because it's not there yet. We don't have the right track, I think, to play. But since we're talking about things that are kind of, I guess they're old, there's a song. It's by Bauer, one of the guys named Bauer. It's called it's a meme. I guess I'll ask you, have you done the Harlem Shake yet?
The Harlem Shake.
Have you,
that is like one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen. I could literally watch that like all day. It's so funny.
The joke is, we've been watching these videos on YouTube about the Harlem Shake. If you don't know what the Harlem Shake is, you know, hopefully you have like a crazy cool radio that can pause live stream, and you can go watch Harlem Shake videos for about 12 minutes because it's
awesome.
Okay. It's like these people, you know, that's this little Latino beat going along, and you got one guy or
one
like person.
A room of people basically, and they're all doing their own thing. Like, one's doing homework, one's watching TV, and then there's one guy like in the background, kind of.
He's always got something weird, like a helmet.
Yeah,
or a helmet,
or he's like not wearing hardly any clothes or something like that, and he's literally doing some dance, like
it's like
a horrible version of the Bernie, or like some weird Macarena rendition or something. And then out of nowhere, like there's this like big breakdown in the song, and then like
it says do the Harlem Shake, and then everyone
crazy.
Starts,
it goes insane, like everyone's dancing.
They cut the video, and then everyone starts dancing, and they start the video again right at the joint, right at the drop, and it's great.
It's so funny, dude.
And it's only like 30-second video, like it's a 30-second video each time. And we watched these for like 5.5 minutes before the show.
Yeah,
the show was almost late because of it. Yeah. So the Harlem Shake is the new meme, and there's a ton of memes that go around. Like there's the dramatic chipmunk.
Yeah.
There's the Friday with what was her face?
Rebecca Black.
Yeah, Rebecca Black. She had like another song after that, and it
was
terrible.
It
was
like she tried to make something out of like she's like, oh, my first song is horrible. Maybe I can redeem myself. And everyone was like, we don't care
there's
about
no coming
good
back
music
from
you.
No, there's no coming back.
And then there's what is it? Can't name the name of it. Nyan Cat. Sorry,
Nyan Cat. With he turns into a rainbow toaster strudel and
Pop Tart.
Yeah, a rainbow Pop Tart
thing
in through space. And then there was what was the other one? Leak Spin.
And then there's a troll song.
The doon 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 do 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 that one.
Yeah, the Lloyd Tuma or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
Latuma.
Called. And then there's Keyboard Cat.
Then there was
it's like all
Numa
the,
Kid.
Yeah,
the Numa Numa one.
The good internet things.
So yeah, we're gonna play that. That's it's called Le Internet Medley. It's French Le Internet Medley by the Gag Quartet. I assume they're talking about Nine Gag. If you don't know what Nine Gag is.
They put the lay in front of everything.
I don't know if we can say go to 9gag. Go to 9gag.com. Respectfully to 9gag.
We can just say 9gag.com exists.
Yeah, it is a website online.
On your own, go there on your own risk.
Yeah, if you'd
maybe
like to look at it. This is Le Internet Medley, Le Internet Medley,
yeah,
by the Gag Quartet, and this is
Experience Points on
Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM.
KSLU.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.
I am Will.
And I am MG. And this is, of course, still Experience Points.
Experience.
I love that song was the Internet Medley by the Gag Quartet. That last bit, that strumming, that was the beginning of the Pokemon theme. Did you catch that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to it again, but it was the beginning of the Pokemon theme.
That's crazy.
I don't have any other information other than that. There was like 42-something internet memes in that song. If you can name all of them, you probably should go outside.
Just a little bit.
I hate saying that to the people that listen to our show.
Go outside
but
and get on your laptop and use that wireless internet outside instead of inside.
The Wi-Fi? Get the free Wi-Fi? The free fee. So we were talking during this about really hard games, like video games that you play almost like bragging rights, I feel. Like play to say, like, did you know I beat this game on super hardcore difficult mode? And listen, I know that no one else has ever done that, but I did it. Or that people that do speed runs, like, I feel like it's just challenge.
Oh, my gosh. That's
challenge.
I've never found that to be cool. Like, people, like, I have a friend that's like, dude, I just beat Portal 1 in less than 5 minutes, dude. And I'm like,
what was the story?
I'm like, I don't understand how you did that. I'm not going to lie. So it's cool. But at the same time,
you put a portal at the beginning and at the end, and you walk through it.
And it's, oh, I beat it in less than 10 seconds, man. I just shot through the
end. It's, no, I feel that there are a lot of games out there that are really, really hard for no other reason than being hard. Like,
just for bragging rights.
Yeah, like, well, not even, like, okay, we were watching, I'm not sure if anyone out there, I'm sure someone out there, obviously, but if you have a chance, go to YouTube. It feels like we're, like, giving them homework. Like, you know, we expect by next Wednesday all of you to have gone to YouTube
and
looked
9gag
at 9gag. And I almost said 4chan.
Oh, gosh,
you
not
go to all of these websites and report back. Write a book report on it. in all seriousness, though, there's this genre. It's called Bullet Hell. And it's this genre of game that all you do, it's like Ikaruga or R-Type Final, R-Type 2. It's typically 1942 even, like top-scrolling airplane game where there are enemies on the screen and they shoot bullets at you and you shoot back. And there's power-ups that drop. Mm-hmm. It's like a vertical scrolling type of Star Fox.
Yeah.
But
the videos we're talking about, like, is probably like the last boss in the whole game or something, I guess, because they are
they're ridiculous.
We watched so many of them because they're addicting to watch.
There was less, like, there were so many bullets. There were, I would say, there's 90% of the screen was bullets.
And it's so fun to watch because it's so high of attention. You're like, is he gonna die? Is he gonna die? Is he gonna die? And then he ends up somehow within the smallest crack, like he passes through a needle, whatever the thing, the eye of the needle, basically, and ends up somehow.
You know, I want to talk to the game developers and figure out what do they think about whenever they're making these bosses
or whole screen with bullets.
Well, I mean, think about it. Why is an enemy going to shoot bullets away from the guy they're trying to hit?
That's a good question.
Like they've got these people and this like whirling dervish spinning around shooting bullets at every 15 degrees it's shooting
wasting
a bullet.
Bullets shooting in the other direction.
Right. And it makes a really cool like display. It's like a spirograph.
Like you were saying, it's like watching like a Winamp or Windows Media Player like music art thing fighting against it basically.
You're looking at it and you're like, "Wow, this looks really symmetrical." But I mean, in any weapon I know of, you it's directional. You shoot it in a direction. You don't make a display out of it.
Hey, look, watch this gun, dude. If I shoot it, it kills everyone in the whole room at one time because it makes an orb of bullets.
That's a nuke. That's a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. And but
looking at you, North Korea.
Another thing that's pretty interesting, though, is it's like you think like no one would find interest in watching like, oh, it's the last boss of some game or something like that. But it's like every one of those videos has like over 500,000 views. So it's like it shows how hard it is, I guess, to get that far in the game.
I think people – and they're all really like foreign games. They're not particularly – like they may be in English. Like I played Ikaruga on like GameCube and PlayStation 2. They were really good games. But I have a feeling that there's like – there's a way bigger subculture of games. Like, you come over and you're like, hey, you want to play beer pong? And they're like, nah, man, I got to play Bullet Hell. And then and everyone's like
what are you
right doing? On, let's do it! And then you go and you play Bullet Hell for hours and you tried it. Like, you don't, you know, it's a big challenge. So I imagine it's a subculture thing. But like Bullet Hell, there are a lot of games out there that are hard, just really, really hard. And I don't think people realize how hard some games are because...
Like, those were ridiculous to watch. I can't even imagine being that person.
Well, like, think about some of the old games. I know we can talk about classic games a lot because I think modern games now kind of suck, sort of. In a way.
But in a way. Like, they're good. They're good. Like, good stories, awesome. Like, Assassin's Creed, dude, best story ever,
man. Yeah, the graphics. Well, what I feel is that with better graphics comes more responsibility.
Yeah, it's like, I honestly think the same thing.
Uncle Ben type of mentality.
Did you ever play
there.
Oblivion and then and you played Skyrim?
Yeah.
Like, Oblivion was like, God, these graphics suck, but man, this is a fun game.
Right,
I can play
really
this forever.
Great.
And then you play Skyrim and you're like,
I haven't beat
man,
Skyrim.
These graphics are awesome, but there's no, like, the storyline's like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, you play the main storyline and it takes like maybe a day if you're actually playing it,
I guess,
to beat it.
I feel the same way. I don't like it when games are like, look at these graphics, they're really great. Like, Crysis did it. Crysis was amazing as far as, like,
graphics,
visually.
Yeah.
And even gameplay was really, really good.
But then it's something dumb. Like...
Story didn't make sense. It didn't. It was like Lost, I feel. It was like the game version of the
no one understands.
Right. It's like you play it, well, you think it's like, all right, is the island a robot? Is the island God? I mean, what's going on in the island?
Yeah.
And then they end up like making it this weird, like, huh, at the end of the series, maybe you should have think about it a little bit. Just, you know, what do you think it is? They tell you sort of, but you have to read into it. It's like the ending of Inception. I feel
I was literally just thinking that, like, Inception, I like the ending of it because it's like the whole movie is basically like messing with your brain, and at the very end, like, the ending is basically like the biggest mess with your brain of all time.
I you know what? I have a feeling, though, Chris Nolan, right? So I have a
feeling here's
what it was. At the end of the movie, he spins the top and he walks away. He just walks away.
Just forgets about it.
He wasn't in a dream. He wasn't in the dream state. He
Limbo.
Just walked away. He spun a top. He made a statement. He empowerment. You know, it wasn't supposed to be this big thing. I think Chris Nolan's like laughing about it. Like,
he's like, LOL. Everyone thinks this is this, but in reality, it's actually this.
Right. he's like, yeah, y'all really, wow, internet, y'all took that a little far, didn't you?
Yeah.
But oh, we're getting so far off the topic. But I did the same thing with Sucker Punch. My girlfriend and I watched.
I never
Sucker
saw
Punch.
That. I heard it was really bad. Actually,
well, some people think it's bad. I recently rewatched it, and I've always liked it because not for the typical reasons, like, you know, these really hot girls in skimpy schoolgirl outfits, with, you know, guns. Nothing like that. Like, that's sure, that's nice, but. I look at it and it's way different. It's like it's like Inception. There are multiple layers within a fantasy world, and you when you layer on layer after layer of fantasy, you start to kind of not be able to figure out what's real anymore.
Kind of lose where you actually were at the beginning,
right? Like what? And but even then, you lose the story. You lose like what is he trying to say? What is because it's Zack Snyder, it's the guy that brought us 300. Like it was a good director and it was a good good cast. And there's a really cool review I posted on my Facebook, but there's a really cool review called something like You Don't Know Sucker Punch. And it is this guy going through the entire movie and kind of explaining it for all the people out there that thought it was just this really, this meat fest, you know, this like, oh yeah, here's girls, just watch the girls. It's not about watching the girls. It's about who you are mentally versus physically, and people can't control your mind versus your body. And
really?
It was this really deep thing.
I had no idea that's how it was.
Well, you got to look for it. But I have a feeling that it's the same, because I didn't immediately pick up on all that. I picked up that it was more than just a movie about guns, but at the same time, I wouldn't have picked up that it was about women's suffrage and rights and everything. Like,
is that really what it was?
That's what this guy in the review kind of leads it to believe. I can see it, but it may be one of those things like, hey, you know that movie's about this. Just because it kind of seemingly can be about this, it may not really, but it kind of works.
That's pretty cool.
Anyway, back on topic.
But wait, before we go back to the topic, real quick. That reminded me of at the end of the Avengers, you know, like, oh, yay, everything's saved. Loki's going back to prison or whatever and everything. Have you seen the Avengers?
Yeah.
I kind of just ruined the movie for everyone that didn't see it. But at the end, it's kind of obvious it's going to happen because, I mean, it's the good guys versus the bad guys. Good guys always win.
Right.
But like at the end, like Loki, everyone's like, yay, Loki's in prison. He's going back. But then I looked up something, and apparently, if you watch the movie, at the very end, he's like still smirking. And you're like, why is he still smirking? And there's a big whole page basically explaining Loki won in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? How did he win? And then this guy has all this all the comic book background and everything. And I was like, oh, this is a guy that didn't read the comics and saw the movie or whatever. Which, like the majority of people
that
saw
the movie. Well, you didn't waste your time, I don't think, because... Even though, I heavily respect Joss Whedon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched Buffy, I watched the hell out of Serenity and Firefly. Don't get me wrong. Joss Whedon, I give that man a kidney.
Yeah.
Right now, both of them. But, him and his bald head. But I have a feeling that, you know, you had to kind of pick and choose what you wanted out of the comics. Mm-hmm. So, the review based off of comics, yeah, okay, a lot of it is probably going to be accurate. But I don't think all of it's going to be accurate. I don't think it can be, because... Yeah. In the prior Iron Man, like, you know, Iron Man 1, 2, and now 3, the stories that they're building aren't necessarily comic book. They're comic book related, but not comic book accurate.
Yeah.
Even if they are,
when they put it at the beginning of a movie based off of a true story.
Right.
Like, they put that in that movie.
Paranormal Activity.
No, and then, did you hear the story behind that? But anyway, I'm not going to go into that, but... They put that in that movie with the penguin surfing. It says at the beginning of the movie, based off of a true story.
Happy Feet?
And it's about penguin surfing.
Oh, yeah. I know which one you're
I don't know
about.
What it's called, but I was like, what the heck? How?
It's like Surf's Up.
What?
Or something
that, yeah. Actually, it might be the name of it. I don't know. But anyways, back to our topic about boss fights.
Let's play a song. We'll come back to boss fights.
Okay.
This is about a really hard game. This is a Mega Man. I think it's Mega Man 2 or 3. This is Annihilation of Monsteropolis. By the Megas. It's off of, I think they're Get Armed or Get Equipped or something.
Something.
Equipped Up. Anyway, you're listening to Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Will, and this is on Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. We're back to Experience Points. I am Will.
And I am MG. And this is Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. I think it's funny how we kind of always interrupt each other when we're trying to say Southeastern
Zone. Yeah, we need to have like hand signals. It's like, do you want
to
say
point to each other.
Yeah. But, we were talking about hard games and we kind of leading into boss fights. Well, Will, what's your favorite or I guess your worst? Like unfavorite or favorite or even both? What's your hardest, you know, boss fight? What boss fight stays with you after you've played the game, even years after, maybe?
Okay. You've played Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with The Old Republic, the worst
not the MMO
ever online game, is what I've heard.
MMO.
But Knights of the Old Republic, the original Knights of the Old Republic, won the single-player game for, like, the Xbox original. I don't know if they have it for Xbox 360.
I know they have it for PC and Xbox. I don't know if they have it for anything else.
The final fight on there, when you play against Malak, and so many people are going to be like, oh, you're dumb. You suck at that game, apparently, if you can't beat him, because... I always played it light side. Like, every time I played through the game, I played through it light side. And the thing is, if you're dark side, he sucks life out of these little orb things. The people in the life tubes.
Like the Bacta tubes or Bacta tanks
or
whatever.
Yeah, that. Yeah. And he sucks life out of him. And if you're dark side, you can suck life out of him too. And so it's pretty easy to beat him if you're dark side.
But if you're light side, you have to be nice.
And if you're light side, you can't do that. And so you have to use, like, heal, which I was stupid. I never got heal because I thought it was a waste of time. Or you have to use, like, med packs, which is what I used.
You're the light side guy that is like, well, I don't need heal. I'll just get destructive spells. It's destructive.
Yeah, you know, like, destructive
ball,
light
ball
side.
Pieces of tinfoil up and throw it at your enemies. And that's, like, the most damage you can do.
Yeah, and, well, the thing is like, that's what I did, basically, is I got all the stuff like, oh, look, this is a lot of damage, and it's a light side thing. Let me get this. But then, like, you can't really use a lot of that against Malak in the final fight, or Darth Malak, whatever you want to call him, in the final fight. And so I had to use med packs, and the thing is, though, is it's like med packs kind of get scarce towards the end of the game because it's like they expect you to have some way to sustain yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, I'm using,
you
like,
picked up heal.
I'm using like the small med packs or like the advanced med packs you get like at the beginning of the game, like through the beginning of the game, basically. And it's like I have like 100 of them, but even with 100 of them, it's like if you use a med pack, it takes your turn to hit, because on that game, it's like turns back and forth, basically, yeah, a hit kind of type thing. It's not really, but that's what it is.
It's not turn-based, but it sort of is.
Yeah, because it's like you choose your moves you're going to use, and like he hits, then you hit, then he hits, then you hit. But it's like if you use a med pack, it gets rid of one of your turns to hit, and so it's like completely counter fighting, basically, because he's going like, hey, I hit you for half your health, and I use one med pack that heals me for almost a quarter, and then he hits me for another half of my health, and it's like, it's so hard to do, like, light side if you're using only med packs. It's basically impossible. So that's the reason I would say that's, like, the hardest boss fight I've ever done, single-player-wise.
It's a different angle of, like, strategy. Like, you have to use a different tactic.
And, yeah, it was...
It's like passive-aggressiveness. Like, you'd be like, I'm going to hit you. Just wait in my turn. Next turn, I'll hit you.
Yeah, and it was just really hard because med packs take up a turn, and
sounds a lot like, actually, when we said we weren't going to talk Final Fantasy, because Final Fantasy's, like, all the Final Fantasy final bosses are kind of hard. Yeah. I think, like, Final Fantasy VII's, or I'm sorry, Final Fantasy X. That's what I really meant. Final Fantasy X's boss fight at the end, like, I guess when you're biting, I think the guy's name's Sin. It's this huge, elaborate fight. It's like an hour or something long fight. At least maybe I'm chalking it up to being like a kid. Like I thought this thing was so hard whenever I was, I guess, I don't know, maybe like 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
So it could, maybe it's not that hard, but this guy, like, you know, it was like hours and hours and hours. And it feels a lot like you were describing that, because you got one person in the group who's kind of like the priest, like the healer class. And it was typically the girl, because I thought girls were healers, and that's what they were supposed to do. Then you had the two guys in the front, and they would die, and then you're like, well, it's cheaper to not res them and swap them out with someone or whatever. Like, there was always this tactic, and it seems like you're having to do all that, except you just have one guy. Like, you don't have three people on the screen. There are two boss fights. There's one's the boss fight that really kills me every time I play. Like, I don't think I've beaten it very often.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other one. I'm going to start with the good one first. It was actually the boss fight at the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots, because it was like this – it was an homage to all of the previous Metal Gear Solid games. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, patriotic music – well, not patriotic. It was, like, theme music playing in the background as you're fighting your brother. And it was this huge – you're on top of a submarine. And it's just this big, giant – like, the whole experience is, like, an hour and a half long. But it was this – at no point did I ever, because maybe I'm good at that game. Like, that's why. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe it went by really good because I was really good at the game. But, so that's the good one. The other one is, it's actually the final boss fight in, what was I lost it? The final boss fight in Mega Man X, because it was the Sigma. Yeah. I wasn't the guy that got the Hadouken in Mega Man X, so... I had to fight Sigma, like, and I typically went
really
in,
hard.
I think the first few times I went in, like, way long back, a long time ago, I didn't have full tanks, mm-hmm. I didn't use Armadillo's thing to get the full tanks at the beginning.
So it was extremely...
Yeah, it was really hard, and you know what, I remember being like, I remember taking the controller when I die, and it's like, pew, 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 and you go into little balls, I, like, throw the controller down, I'm like, I didn't sign up for this. I was so angry. Like, he was totally, he was laughing at me because of it.
And, oh, I hate that.
But then on the other side, there are, like, some boss fights that are really disappointing. Like, it was like the Borderlands. I guess maybe that entire first game was kind of disappointing. Yeah. Have you ever played Borderlands?
No, I actually haven't, but I heard that it's not the first.
It's just not. The story, it was like, it's leading up to this big thing, and then all of a sudden, like, not that good.
Yeah.
We kind of felt, again, it's like Lost.
It's almost like, I talked about Knights of the Republic. Knights of the Republic 2 is like, oh, dude, this is a fun game. This is cool. And then you get to the final boss, and you're like, this isn't hard.
It's Mass Effect 3.
And it's like, it was just... I don't know. The final boss in Knights of the Old Republic 2 was kind of extremely disappointing because it was just, I don't know.
I appreciate that they have to. I don't want it to feel like the boss is so much harder than, I guess, than the other one. Because, like, Far Cry 3, I'm playing through Far Cry 3. I've almost beaten it, mm-hmm. I think I've almost beaten it, like, 5 times. And then it just finds some way to extend the game.
It's like one of those movies that has a black screen and everyone starts clapping and then the movie comes back. And you're like, wait, it's not over yet.
Yeah, it's really great. I love Far Cry because it's a beautiful game. And they've really got, they got, like, some Skrillex music in there. And featured in the, it's a very modern game. And, mm-hmm. It's about this, it's like this vacation turned wrong. And
yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff about it.
Okay, so it's about slave trading and apparently taxidermies. Huh. Taxidermy work. You skin a bunch of animals and you make stuff. It's like arts and crafts with guns. But so that you get to a point where you're about to kill one of the main guys and you don't actually fight him in a boss battle. Like you don't fight him at all. You come in and it's like it prompts you for like a quick time event, kind of like Resident Evil 4 did.
Yeah.
It tells you like, quick, press your left mouse button or whatever. Press C or press E.
And it just kills him?
Well, you have to press a few times to kill him, but it's not like there's a lot of challenge. It's more story driven. It wants you to pay attention to what the characters are doing in the story and not so much that you're trying to aim for this guy's head. Like, you don't actually, there's no skill involved with killing the guy. That's because weird. It's the fight, the skill, all the skills involved with killing the waves of bad people. You know, the ways of enemies.
That was the hard part.
Yeah, that was like the part because like all of a sudden like these elites come out and you have to kill them, and then all of a sudden like more heavies come out and you have to kill them. And,
yeah.
And by the time you get in, it's almost like it's all story driven, and I kind of appreciate that. Like you can't spend all your game just waiting for that boss fight.
Yeah.
But I feel that when you do, if you do have a game where you're waiting for the boss fight, like all the Metal Gear Solids, like Legend of Zelda, you know, you have to build it up to the boss fight. And then the boss fight does have to be reasonably difficult, but not impossible.
So it's almost like a different sense of victory. Because whenever you defeat a really, really hard boss, you're like, yeah, you're all pumped up and everything. But it's like whenever you beat him, you're kind of like, wow, that was
you
a cool
wanted
story.
You wanted to defeat this guy. You. They build him up throughout the entire game. He is very hated. You feel very.
And so when you beat him, you're just like.
It's satisfying. It's very satisfying.
It's very like
a
relief almost, kind of.
We were talking about Bullet Hell and how people play challenging games to show off. It's very gratifying and satisfying in a different way. It's not that you spent all the time and you had that, you know, you were aiming for that headshot or you were trying to get him, you know, the right way. It was that you made it to that point in the game and now what are they going to throw at you next? That's kind of where I'm at. Because I thought that was the end of the game after I took out this bad guy. But then all of a sudden the game opens up to a completely new surrounding set of people, characters. And it's not like, well, hey, you know what? We're going to go ahead and keep the game going. You know, I hope you enjoy this fluff. Like, you know how like Fallout or...
It's kind of,
like after you beat the storyline, you can just like exist in the world as a cool dude.
Yeah.
It's nothing like that. Like, it actually keeps the storyline going, and it was just really, really crazy. But before we get too far off topic, let's go ahead and play the song. This is that Zillant song, or Zillant song.
Excellent Zillant, whatever you want to call him.
Excellent. I like excellent. That's probably how you're supposed to say it.
Yeah.
This is his new one, Boss Wave. You're listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU and Experience Points.
Yes. Boss Wave.
What is with that kid in the end of that song? You hear it? It's like firecrackers and a dog. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone. Sorry, it gets me. Welcome back to we're Experience Points, and I'm MG.
I am Will, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.
Southeastern Zone, but it's yours too. If you want it, it's yours.
It's the people's zone.
This is the people's zone. That was excellent. It's XILENT with Boss Wave.
I think it's weird, actually. I think it might be pronounced Xylent.
Xylent.
I've heard from some people that it's pronounced Xylent.
Xylent.
Like the X is a Z sound.
Xylent.
But at the same time, excellent is such a cool name, the way he spells it.
He's not. I don't think is he American?
I have no
idea. He's black. He's black. He's a black guy, I think.
I have no idea.
It's a YouTube video. Anyway, it's a cool video. The video is awesome if you watch it. He like builds a robot and he fights guys off. But So yeah, we were talking about boss battles, and I couldn't remember the right boss battle. I just kind of picked one up and threw it out there. I was actually talking, or I was thinking about the hardest boss battle I think I've ever faced, at least in the current console generation. Well, I guess the previous current, PlayStation 2. Xenosaga. It was this trilogy of games, 1, 2, and 3. And that was like Xenosaga 1, Der Illwach der Mountain. It was like some German.
What?
But it was a Japanese, like heavily anime, Japanese-inspired game. Very Japanese-style RPG.
That's weird.
You had to build their characters the right way. It's similar to Final Fantasy. You had to build your characters the right way, and then at the end, you fought the big bad guy. It was so hard because I feel like I scraped by beating these other bad guys, these other enemies, and then when I get to the big boss, like the game ender boss, I can't beat him because I didn't build my characters the right way. And now it's not like you go and you refund your points and rebuild your character real quick. Like, you have to play the game again.
What?
And it's like dual PlayStation 2 DVD disc. Like, it's a long, like 40 to 80 hour game,
my goodness.
You know?
I cannot imagine
it's
that.
Yeah, so it was really hard. But, you know, there's a lot of games out there, Will, since you don't know. He's looking at me like, I know, we rehearsed this. There's a lot of games out there that, that don't have any boss fights.
That do not have
boss fights. They're kind of, you don't have to play. You know what I'm talking about. he's like, you don't say.
It's funny because we talk about this all during like every song and before the show and everything. Like, what are we going to talk about? And then during the show, we're like, oh,
we're
okay.
We're giving away all of our
secrets. I had no idea. Yeah,
what?
No.
Come on. But no, there are a lot of games out there, and if you think about it, you can think of some, like Rock Band.
Yeah.
Just Dance.
Yeah.
World-class track meet for the Nintendo. you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's the one with the power pad, and you just stomp up and down on the blue and red buttons.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah.
It came on it was a triple.
That was so old.
Triple threat with Mario
Nintendo,
and Duck Hunt.
Nintendo was so far ahead of everyone back in the day, and they kind of still are, I guess. But
Wii Sports, you were saying.
Wii Sports.
PlayStation.
And then, I said Guitar Hero. But then right after I said that, I kind of thought, I was like, actually, there's guitar battles.
Yeah.
So
Rock Band, you have like gigs, like super gigs, where you have to play like three things. But it's not like it's any harder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the challenge is still there, but it's not like you have to compete against someone else. Now, they do have like multiplayer modes, sort of, like where you can be, I guess you can rock a rock off, a battle of the bands, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I was also thinking like games like... any of the games, like you said, the Barbie games, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, like my sister used to have one, and so I'd watch her play it, and it was like, drive this horse down a trail, and you're like, why are you playing that? Like, how is this even a game? But, and then, dang it, I just had it. What other games? Fusion Frenzy and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
like,
they're all mini games, Mario Party or WarioWare. Yeah. It almost seems like a bunch of Flash games combined. It's not really, and again, it's okay. You don't have to have boss battles for everything because, like, I'd venture to say, like, we were talking about Mega Man. Mega Man's got boss battles, like Mega Man 2, Mega Man 3, the early version of Mega Man's. But they don't. You know, your boss battles may be marginally more difficult than the entire level you just went through to get to them.
Yeah.
So on one side, you know, you've got boss battles where the bosses are really, really hard, and it was like it was a journey. It wasn't an arduous journey, but it was a journey to get to the boss battle.
Yeah.
But then you've got, you know, and the boss battle is really hard, and it wasn't so hard before. Mm-hmm. And then you have like, well, it's kind of really hard to get there. Like, you know, it's not a cakewalk to get to the boss battle.
Yeah.
But then once I'm there, the boss battle isn't too much difficult. It's more of the same. It's kind of hard too. And then you've got, you know, obviously these games where apparently it's just rhythm guitar rhythm. It's rhythm games where you well, you know, you're the controller, any of the Wiimote controller,
just
Kinect or the Move, man. Any of those types of games, you know, you're typically not going to have. You may have like a score battle or something. You won't have a boss fight. But we were talking like this current generation of games, we've always had like peripheral generations. Like we've had the Super Scope for the Super Nintendo. It was this big sniper gun. We had the Duck Hunt blaster.
Yeah,
but that I feel is a peripheral for a special type of game, like hand-eye coordination. You know, and so are these, like, so are the rhythm games. But there was a really cool game. It was called Rocksmith.
I saw that actually. That looks
Rocksmith
cool.
I have it, and you have a special little controller. Adapter that plugs into an actual guitar, like a really, it's not a special one. Like Rock Band 3 has a special Fender only MIDI guitar.
What?
Yeah, where you can plug in the controller, but you can also or plug in the system. Also, you can plug it into an amp. But it's a terrible guitar. Like, it's $250, and it's made of plastic. It's not that good.
Oh, wow.
But, like, I have an Epiphone. Like, I could plug my Epiphone straight up into this game, and it'll be like, all right, tune it. And it'll show you how to tune it. Oh, and wow. Then it'll show you, like, common notation as far as playing the guitar, playing the bass. And you play it, and as you do more, it's really, really responsive. It registers really well. Huh. As you play it, it starts with, like, the E string, like, one string, you know, bow, bow, bow. And then all of a sudden, it, like, it's like, good, you added a whole new string. Here's the A string. So now it starts putting two notes at a time. So you can go between strings. And then when you do those really well, it adds another one. And
that sounds
starts,
really cool. So it teaches you how to play the guitar.
It teaches you how to play the guitar. Now, that's it doesn't really do cool. it with every... There's only, like, I guess, maybe 50 songs that you can play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's got some pretty cool songs. It's got, like, Bring Me to Life by...
Evanescence?
Yeah. And then it's that's got cool. some Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think it's got a Linkin Park song. Maybe yeah. some, like, Proud Mary by Creedence Clearwater. You know, you have some old songs, some new songs. But it's a really cool way of doing it. And I have cool. a feeling that it utilizes peripherals, I mean instruments, real instruments, yeah. not peripherals, versus Rock Band, Guitar Hero.
Wii Music. Wii Music was fun, though, because you can make some crazy stuff. That was like one of the music games I actually kind of was like, I give props to these people because it's different, but it's really cool. Because you can use like 800 million. You actually can, this is going to sound ridiculous.
You can do music on it.
You could have a drum set and you could have the little Wii Fit foot thing,
right?
And you could use one side for bass, one side for the cymbal, and you could sit there and actually play like a full drum set on screen, and like you'd hit different buttons if you wanted to hit a different drum.
Now you see that's cool because you're not really using peripherals so much. Like that's the controller.
Yeah.
Like the Wii almost gets a pass because like what else except for all the stuff you plug it into? Like yeah. hey, the Wii Blaster, plug it into this thing. you need the Wii hammer. You plug it into this other thing.
You plug the Wii Blaster into the Wii tennis thing, and then you plug the Wii tennis thing into the cart thing.
Shoot
and then
tennis
you have
rackets.
A full Mario game, and then you plug it into the sword with the guitar, and
it just seems like there's so many peripherals for the Wii alone. But then you look at game specific things like the worst and the best. I hate to go back and forth with it, but the worst and the best peripheral was the Steel Battalion controller for the original Xbox. It was this. Do you remember this game?
No.
You were a mech controller. You were like a mech operator, and you had this huge, like 150 button controller in front of you. It had joysticks.
It had its own controller?
Yeah, it had its own controller. It was this crazy cool thing, and it was. I think they came out with one for the new 360. It was like
why?
It was really, really cool. He had like two joysticks, a bunch of buttons on the middle console, like
whoa.
Different stuff. He had like really cool thing. It was like you were piloting a big giant robot. It had these pedals at the bottom, and it was like $300 for this controller when it was brand new.
What the heck?
But Steel Battalion was all about using the actual, you know, like being there, doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was these screenshots of
a cool idea.
Of when you look at the actual like, you know, game and you see like you had all of this stuff. You had all of these buttons and all of these it was like Mech Warrior, you know, and it was just really, really cool. And I think it would have worked if people would have been able to afford it. But it was bad because it was too expensive. It was good because it worked exactly like it was supposed to. It was bad because it only worked with Steel Battalion.
Yeah.
Like, what else? You couldn't, like, plug it into a computer and be like, all right, I'm going to be a fighter pilot. Like, it didn't work that way.
That stinks.
So then you have, like, and we did that almost with like, Rock Band 2 guitars. Like, the PlayStation 2 Rock Band 2 guitars or Guitar Hero 2 guitars won't work even with the USB adapter for the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox. You had to get an Xbox 360 guitar.
Well, I didn't
guitar.
Even know that. Wow.
Yeah, there's like a compatibility chart online of
That's
the
weird.
Of like plastic plastic instrument compatibility. I don't like the fact that we have so many different ways of playing games.
Yeah.
It's good and it's bad. Like, I like how we have, like, you know, the Guitar Hero and the Rock Band and then the other Guitar Hero. And then we have another, like, all those guitars.
Yeah, there's so
and then we've got the Ion. Yeah.
The thing I dislike is, like we had to, whenever we sat down, we're like, okay, what kind of games don't have boss fights? And then it kind of took us a second to think of more other than Rock Band.
Rhythm games, yeah.
Because it's like, and if you think about it, all these games, though, they're all new. Basically, like, every one of them is basically a new game.
You know what I just realized, though? They're all party games.
And that's what I'm saying.
Like, they're all new generation party games.
They're all like group games. And it's like, I don't know. I just feel like these new games, like, I've felt like this for a while, have kind of, like, ruined a whole generation of gaming. Because I remember, like, me as a kid, I would go to my grandparents' house and be like, oh, y'all have a Nintendo?
Gonna play some GoldenEye. Yeah, or no, and, regular Nintendo, right?
And, yeah, just
no,
a regular Nintendo. And then, like, even though the Nintendo was old at that time, though, I was like, well, y'all have a Nintendo. That's cool. I have, like, a PlayStation 1 also. But, like, they had a PlayStation 1 and a Nintendo. And so I'd go there and just play, like, all these different games that were really cool, like Crash Bandicoot and all those other games that, like, were just, like, iconic games, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, the games that made... Well, without those games, I don't think we have games like we have today.
I mean...
Without Crash Bandicoot, we would not have... And Tomb Raider, we wouldn't have Uncharted.
It's true, we wouldn't. But at the same time, it's like... And Uncharted's a good game. I'm not saying it's bad at all. Uncharted's a really good game. But it's like... I just feel like games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band, they're cool. And they're for, like, almost like a different audience. But at the same time, it's like... They've kind of made it, hey, this is what you're supposed to play. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of been pushed upon a generation of kids where these are our games. And then, like, parents are against video games that have violence in them now. And so it's like, so they get the kids these games and the kids have to play them, basically.
Can we sidetrack? I know we never sidetrack during the show, but can we sidetrack just a minute for video game violence?
Sure.
Okay, so this is a PSA from me to you. Someone who's played a ton of games,
mm-hmm.
not me to Will, like me to you, the listener.
The listener.
There's a reason. Like, the ESRB was this awesome system. Mm-hmm. It was crazy how before they had this, games did not have to have a rating.
Hmm.
And that there were a ton of games, like if a game was an adult game, adult only, as in it has nudity, it's got gratuitous amounts of violence and sex and things like that, then you didn't have it in the United States. It was only in, like, crazy other countries that allowed that stuff. And even now, like, some games that are released without a moment's notice in America, like Halo. Halo, I think, had a time in Australia getting released and in England. So, I mean, the ESRB, that's the Entertainment Something Ratings Board or
something,
whatever,
Bureau,
it rates all the games. They do a good job of rating
really
the games.
Good job.
If you want to complain about video game violence, look at the games like Grand Theft Auto and, I guess, Manhunt 2. Those games are mature games, as in 17 plus. And if you're complaining about your 13-year-old son or daughter having a game that either objectifies women or
don't buy it for
like
them.
Murders people, then you're to blame, or their friend Benny down the street, whose moms are to blame. Yeah, that's the problem.
And that's the thing that I've always seen is, like, the thing. I know this sounds like ridiculous. We're almost going off on a rant on parenting right now, but it's like,
be better parents.
Like, I work at McDonald's. This has kind of been like I brought this up before, and like now in every Happy Meal they have a reduced size fry. It's called the child fry or whatever, and it's like a very 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 small version of a medium fry. It looks like a little medium fry carton, but it's like it can only hold like 10 fries. Not kidding. It can only hold like 10 fries. And, like, the managers say at the max it's supposed to be able to hold 13. And I'm like, what?
Do you have to count these?
And, no,
or
you just put it in
shovel
there.
Them in
you just
there.
Shovel them in there. And it's really hard to get them in there because it's so small, too. Like, the fries don't even hardly fit into
it.
And
it's skinny jeans for fries.
Yeah, it's really hard to do. But then not only that, now instead of having just a small fry, they have a child-sized fry and apples. And I don't have anything wrong with apples. Apples are awesome. I like them. But it's like the reason they did that, though, is because so many parents were complaining, McDonald's is making my kids fat.
Well, don't bring them to McDonald's.
And
then.
It's funny because they say McDonald's is making my kids fat, but they're the ones saying that, and they're the parents that buy it for their kids.
I wasn't
kids.
Aware that McDonald's was a charity that donated fat food to fat
and that,
to skinny kids.
And that's
kids.
The thing is that like it always gets me when parents complain about that. And I'm probably stepping on some people's toes right now, so I kind of feel bad. But I mean, like,
no. I agree. It's you got to take responsibility for being like, okay, it may not be the cause, but you're definitely the transportation.
Yeah.
Do I admit Grand Theft Auto? I would not want my 7-year-old nephew to play Grand Theft
Never
Auto. I don't want my 16-year-old nephew to play a cousin to play Grand Theft Auto sometimes because I think it's bad.
Yeah, it's
especially
bad.
For impressionable kids.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's no way that they will have access to that unless you allow them to have access to it.
Indeed.
And I don't know. I think video game violence is ridiculous. I think that when people are trying, they say we don't want to talk about the budget because we want to talk about video game violence, and we don't want to talk about same-sex marriage and all these other really, really big deal.
So many controversial topics in the world right now.
There are a ton of other things to talk about, like the war and this Chris Dorner situation in California.
Chris Dorner?
Yeah, this ex-cop went crazy and started doing terrible, crazy things. Anyway, that's for the political podcast, or for the crime podcast. Anyway, all we're saying is that some games shouldn't have non-interchangeable plastic instruments. That's all we're saying with this entire rant.
Holy, that was a that's kind of a
kind of swing it back around, Will.
That was a very far stretch
time
there.
To lead
like,
this baby home. We are
talking about Happy Meals at McDonald's, and then you say we're trying to say that some games shouldn't have interchangeable plastic instruments.
If it doesn't have USB, you can go home.
How did we?
We have to swing it back around. We're running out of time.
I say, how did we get on such a far-off rant?
I asked if we could go. I politely asked if we could talk about video game violence, and that's what happened.
That was crazy how far that was.
All right, so this is going to be we're going to wrap it up really soon because we only have a couple more minutes. It does seem like a lot of party games and rhythm games and Just Dance and Barbie's Hollywood Magical Hello Kitty Adventure.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be
Barbie's Magical Hello Kitty Adventure.
Yeah, you know, that seems to be a lot of the games that don't have boss fights
or names.
Like Chuck E. Cheese Fun Time
or something like that. It comes with real tokens or something like that. But
it comes with real tokens.
But it's like, yeah, all these games are designed, like you said, for like party intensive, like, oh look, we're gonna have a party and we have cool music and then also there's gonna be Rock Band in the corner.
Yeah.
And like people are like, oh dude, Rock Band, that's awesome. That's cool, you're gonna have that. Because I mean if you had like
up and jump in and jump out.
Yeah, because if you had like Modern Warfare in the corner, people would be like, why is that here? That's like a
I think there's a lot of people who would play that. Like we do Slugo every semester, and there's always people that want to play Call of Duty all night long.
Yeah, I mean I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. People play Halo, but I'm saying like party games, like if you have Rock Band at a party, everyone, including the females, are gonna be like, cool.
Yeah.
But like,
whoa, careful now. Careful. Watch out, because if we talk about girlfriend mode, were you on the show when we talked about
No.
All right, so we're gonna go over a little bit talking about this, but someone got really, really upset. A game developer was really, really patronized, but he got a lot of hate mail on this one when he insinuated or when he outright said that that his game pretty much has girlfriend mode, insinuating that girls are bad at games, that because they are female, they are bad at games. So
yeah.
Watch that, because there are a lot of girls. Will apologizes, everyone.
Sorry.
He's sorry. No, it came out wrong. But yeah. That's a big topic, especially. And we could have a whole show on that. But
yeah.
we're going to go ahead and end it here. This is actually, we're going to end it on a funny song. It's called Last Train to Awesome Town by Perry Grip. this is actually a song on Rock Band. That's why we're playing it. That's the tie-in. But
yeah,
they have this song, and I don't think we'll have enough. Oh no, we will have enough time to play another song. So it's gonna be Last Train to Awesome Town, and then you're gonna love this one, Nom 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 Nom, also by Perry Grip.
Some Perry Grip.
This is some Perry Grip. Yeah, this has been Experience Points. Thanks for sticking with us on this 2-hour rock block of Experience Points.
It's been awesome.
I've been MG,
and I am still Will. And this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. Nom, 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 nom